Juliet Stevenson, Dakota Blue Richards, Dustbin Baby, based on the novel by Jacqueline Wilson. A young girl lies on the floor as she colors in one of dozens of paper dolls. Director, Juliet May. A pretty girl aged about 14 opens a wardrobe door. Pushing aside some clothes hanging inside, she removes a keepsake box and carries it to a dressing table, where she takes a seat and opens it up. From the many items inside, she takes out a paper doll and smiles as she looks at it. She then removes a picture postcard of some mountain scenery before turning her attention to a small red purse. A purple plastic comb is the next thing to come out of the box. Elsewhere, some cereal is poured into a bowl and orange juice into a jug. The girl comes across a crumpled jotter marked My Scrapbook by April Johnson, which she opens.
I've always hated birthdays. Of course, I don't tell anyone that. I've got so good at pretending I hardly know I'm doing it. But today is the one day when it's hard to hide it. How my life really began.
April?
Yeah?
Breakfast's on the table.
A rack of toast is carefully placed on the table.
It's nearly 5:02.
Coming!
April looks into the dressing table mirror, adjusting the hairband that keeps one of her bunches in place. She smiles at herself, then, picking up the box, she steps away. Someone places a small gift-wrapped present and a card down on the carefully arranged breakfast table. Marion, a middle-aged woman wearing an apron, looks down at her handiwork with satisfaction.
Perfect.
April's returning the box to the wardrobe. She closes the door and leaves the bedroom, unaware that a paper doll has fallen to the floor behind her. Sitting at the breakfast table, she opens the card.
Do you like it?
Thanks, Mary.
Happy birthday, April.
Is that for me too?
Yes, of course it is.
April shakes the present.
Open it and see.
Is it?
Come on, have a look. I asked the young lady in the shop what I should get someone for a really special birthday.
April opens the present to find a small box marked Happy Birthday.
Oh. Is it a joke present?
No, it is not.
Inside the box is a beautiful pair of earrings. Marion watches her reaction.
They're moonstones. I thought they'd bring out the colour of your eyes.
April puts them aside and sighs unhappily.
Are you going to put them in?
Oh, I'll try them later if that's okay.
Yes, of course it is. I mean, you could wear them later for your birthday tea. There's a few places. This one does a takeaway banquet, which sounds very nice. Or we could have a curry. Should be very grown up. It's your first birthday with me, so let's make an occasion of it. Or we could just decide later.
April has been resolutely gazing away from Marion. She finally turns her head to look at her.
I thought I was getting a mobile phone.
Oh, April.
I told you I wanted
a... what I think about mobile phones.
What about what I think?
Tinkery little tunes.
Download.
Everywhere you go.
Yeah, that's because everyone's got one.
Not everyone.
Every teenager. All my friends, just not me. And they're all texting and laughing. And do you know how that makes me feel? Do you? And I can't join in because of you.
Well, I'm sorry, April. You'll just have to learn to live with it.
Well,
I've told you before what I think about them.
Yeah, you've told me, all right.
Please don't talk to me in that sulky tone. It's incredibly irritating.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm sick of you telling me this and telling me that. Who do you think you are? You're not my mother.
Well, I try very hard to be...
Yeah, but I don't want you to!
Marion looks stung. April turns and walks from the kitchen. In the hallway, she picks up some junk mail that's lying by the front door.
It's for you.
Look, today is very hard for you. I do know that.
You don't know anything about me.
April, of course I do.
Like what? What was my first word, Marion? How old was I when I took my first steps? Tell me that, eh?
Well, you know I can't.
No. No one can.
Well, you haven't even thanked me for the earrings. April, please do, please put them in and show your friends.
We're not allowed to wear jewellery to school.
April slams the front door behind her, leaving Marion looking upset.
I could have said sorry. I could have said sweet things to her. I could have told her I liked the earrings. But I didn't.
On a train.
Brilliant.
Happy birthday, darling.
Happy birthday.
Come on then, let's see it.
See what?
Duh, your new phone.
Oh, it's charging, I couldn't bring it in. Duh.
Oh, shut up.
Text from my brother.
Let's see. No way, let me reply, I know what to say.
So which one is it then? Pink one, same as mine?
Yeah.
Buy a snap, bring it in tomorrow, yeah?
I will.
Why do you always copy her? It only makes Hannah think she's really great.
So?
Hair the same, bone the same.
Shut up, it looks cooler than her hairband.
Yeah, your hairband makes you look like a big baby.
Since when do babies wear hairbands? They don't even have hair, they don't. Honest, right, when I was a baby, I was so bald. You'd have thought I was a boy.
I look like an alien.
Oh my God, so did I.
What about you? Did you have any hair?
I just look like a baby, I think.
Mum's got this picture, right, of when I'm like 2 minutes old. I'm covered in gunk and everything.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, and my mum's...
They're the first normal friends I've ever had. And I still can't join in. They think I'm nice and normal too. Give or take a few slightly weird things. And I'm going to do my best to keep it that way. I'm never going to tell them about me.
The next train to depart from platform 3.
Hannah spots a boy.
Is he looking?
Yeah.
I said don't look.
Let's follow him.
April stays seated.
A dentist appointment.
Oh, on your birthday.
Drastic. Hurry up, come on.
April's friends leave the train behind a group of other school kids. They wave to her through the carriage window, and April waves back. But her smile fades as the train pulls away from the station again. She sits alone in the carriage, leaning her head against the window, a melancholy expression on her face. Back at her home, a comfortable two-story house, Marion comes up the stairs and pauses outside April's bedroom. Through the open door, she spots the paper doll lying on the floor and goes inside to pick it up. The face, hair and clothes of the doll have been coloured with crayon. It has long black hair and a blue dress. Marion carefully props it up on a small box on April's bedside table, then leaves the room. A train pulls away from a station. April, in her school uniform and carrying a bag, stands alone on the platform, looking around her. She turns her head at the sound of a child crying. At the far end of the platform, a young mother appears, carrying an infant while wheeling a pushchair. From a glimpse of a person closing the lid on a small baby that's lying in a dustbin, to Marion talking to a group of Japanese tourists.
We're now standing in what was once an open loggia. Loggia. Yes, built in the Italian Renaissance style and once quite open to the elements. Now, if you'd like to follow me, I think you're very much going to enjoy our gallery room, where we have a fascinating collection of artifacts, including a Jacobean serving palette carved with its owner's initials. And it's either an R or a K. You make up your own mind. And an actual medieval wheel, which was unearthed during restoration work in our very own lovely formal garden. Thank you. One note, I'm afraid our winter library is closed for the spring for restoration work. So, if you would like to follow me, we will now go through to the Great Hall.
She reads a message.
I'm so sorry, where was I? Oh, yes, the Great Hall, yes. Yes, indeed, yes. Actually, would you be so good as just to excuse me for a minute?
Presently, Marion's speaking on the phone.
People failed to turn up for registration. Why wasn't I told sooner? Not early enough. This is April we're talking about, not just any normal adolescent with a predilection for skipping maths. She's designated to your care. As a matter of fact, she's very good at maths. Good heavens above, but whatever happened to in loco parentis? That's what I'd like to know. It's Latin.
She calls up to a mustachioed man who's at the top of a ladder.
Elliot,
just a minute.
I need you.
I'll be right with you.
No, I need you now.
I'm sure you do, but so does my piece of body armor.
Listen, it's an emergency.
Marion, if you could just wait for my soldering to dry. Look, I'll blow on it. Won't take long. Marion?
No! Don't worry about me. You just carry on tweaking your breastplate.
Where are you going?
To the tourists.
Someone will be with you in just a second. Sandra, would you? Thank you. Excuse me.
Elliot finds Marion outside, sitting on the steps of the stately home.
The keys. Can't. How many years since I last had a drag on one of your cigarillos?
27.
Why did you ever give up?
Oh, lots of reasons. Health, for one, not to mention cost. And style, of course. Style was my biggest concern.
Elliot, shut up.
April?
Yes. Now, I might be overreacting, and I know that I worry too much, as you are constantly telling me.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly think she's run away.
Why? What did she say?
Oh, she didn't say anything.
She left a note?
No.
She must have said...
No, school rang. She hasn't shown up for any lessons.
Isn't today her birthday?
It's her first one with me.
She's having fun with her friends. She's bunking off.
Not April.
Are her friends in school? Have you checked that? Because a pound to a penny.
No, I didn't ask. No.
Didn't you ever play truant? Obviously not. Listen, let April off the lead for today and deal with her later. She's only 14 once.
Thank goodness. Oh, I worry too much, I know.
Far too much.
Yes.
Now, apparently the calf has got a lovely new chocolate and beetroot cake, which sounds hideous, but by all accounts, totally sublime, alongside a double espresso. My treat. What do you say? Marion?
Marion's running to a car.
Marion!
What? You'll manage without me.
She starts the engine and drives away at speed out of the car park. April's walking through a narrow lane, one side of which is a wall that's heavily graffitied. She emerges into a residential close. Two boys are playing football on a wide and grassy island at the centre of the cul-de-sac. April walks past them and heads across a road to a semi-detached house on the other side. She walks up to the front door and hesitates for a moment, looking around her, before ringing the doorbell. A teenaged girl answers the door.
Yeah. I'm looking for Pat Williams. Is this the right house?
Maybe. Why, do you know what I meant?
Is she in?
You bagging off school?
What?
Skiving.
Is that what you're doing?
No, I ain't got a school, none of them will have me. So why looking for Pat?
I reckon she knows me.
You was never one of our foster kids.
Yeah, when I was a baby, Pat was my first ever foster mum.
You are not serious.
Look, if she's not here, I can come back.
Pat, we got a visitor.
Hello, my love. Who are you?
She reckons you'd remember us. I'm April.
Oh, that's a lovely name.
Don't you remember me?
We get so many little ones through the door, I wish I could.
Please.
I'm April, the dustbin baby.
April,
well, of course I remember you now.
Rewind, you were the dustbin what?
What was I like?
Baby April, you were my claim to fame. Hang on. You had a right good pair of lungs on you. I can remember that. Hang on.
A newspaper cutting.
That's me. Oh my God, are you famous?
She was all over the papers. You can keep that if you like.
How come she dumped you then? You ever found her?
No.
You ever looked for her?
Tanya?
What? Come on, what happened?
April got adopted, didn't you, April?
Getting adopted's easy when you're small and cute. Jamie's getting adopted, aren't you, babes? She's my little sister.
Will they let you see her?
Dunno. They said it might unsettle her. I'll miss her like crazy, though.
Oh, Tanya. We know it's really tough on you.
Don't feel sorry for me. I'm fine, all right?
Okay.
I'm not adopted anymore.
Why? They give you back or something?
No.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. And this says to Mummy from April. Oh.
April, what is it?
She chose it herself.
No, she didn't.
I had nothing to do with it.
The blonde woman opens the present.
Favorite.
Thank you.
Daniel!
Daniel dances with his wife as little April looks on.
I did.
They kiss, and April suddenly looks sad, lowering her eyes back to the paper doll she's colouring in. Later, her adoptive mother, Janet, creeps into April's bedroom as she lies sleeping. She leans over her.
I love you, April. You've made me so happy.
She strokes April's head, but the child shies away from her. Her eyes still closed, April touches the paper doll that lies next to her. Now, Janet pushes in the dining chair April's sitting on.
What does Mummy say?
She doesn't want any bad mess.
That's right. Mummy doesn't want bad mess.
April starts eating.
Not like that. He's a fork. Eat it all up and be a good girl. Eat it all up for Daddy. We don't want him shouting at us now, do we?
Janet looks downhearted as April eats her food. Later, little April's walking past an open doorway.
Where have you been? You really want to know?
Where were you? Tell me, please, Daniel.
Get out of my way.
No!
Get out of my way!
No, please don't go, please! Daniel!
April finds Janet weeping on the floor.
To me. No, Daniel. No. You'd be better off without me too, wouldn't you?
Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you?
April nods her head sadly as Janet dissolves into more sobbing. As the child watches, she curls up in a ball next to her. Later, April's knocking on the bathroom door.
Mummy, I need a wee. Mummy. Mummy, are you in there, Mummy?
Little April looks on as a neighbour wearing pyjamas and a dressing gown climbs a ladder to peer through the bathroom window from outside. He looks shocked by what he sees.
I want my mummy.
The man climbs back down the ladder and whispers something to the woman who's holding it at the bottom.
Poor child. What will they tell her?
A glass of milk is poured.
Here we are, dear. Drink it all up.
April picks up the glass.
I sipped and sipped and sipped it until I felt so full of milk I expected it to spill back out of my mouth and come out of my ears.
A policewoman.
Hello, April.
Where's my mummy?
I'm afraid mummy's gone to sleep.
The policewoman picks April up. April reaches down and grabs the end of a paper doll chain she's made, and it trails behind her as she's carried from the room. Schoolgirl April to Tanya.
So what happened to you? Will you stay here with Pat when your sister's gone?
Yeah, till they find me somewhere permanent.
Well, bye then.
So this woman you're with now, does she specialise in teenagers then?
Not really, just me, I suppose.
Oh well, anything's worth a try.
It was nice to meet you.
Good luck, yeah.
See ya.
Tanya watches April walk across the close, then goes back inside. Marianne's parked her car opposite a school. She hurries towards a fence that borders a playground full of children. She spots April's friends.
Is
April okay?
Well, that's why I'm here.
Does she have to have a tooth out?
A tooth?
Then it's on your birthday. It's not good, is it?
Oh, no.
No,
no
way.
No, it's not. Well, did April tell you anything else?
We can get her home if you want, can't we?
Yeah, no problem. Yes, thank you. If you would, she would be terribly grateful. Thank you.
Well, Pete and mobile's not charged up, eh? She could have just called.
Oh, she doesn't have a mobile.
She told you she got one on her birthday.
Oh, that mobile, yes. Yes, a new one, yes. Oh, no, that one's at home. It's like you say, it's rejigging its battery.
Can't wait to see it. It's the same one as mine.
Oh, really?
See ya.
Bye.
Marianne looks worried as the girls join their classmates, drifting back into the school. April's in a cemetery, carrying a bunch of flowers along a path that runs between the rows of tombstones. A flashback to the younger April being led to a front door that's opened by a bespectacled woman.
I had lots of foster parents, one after the other.
Hello, you must be April.
But I never seemed to fit in. I just wanted mummy back.
April leaves the foster home, carrying her belongings in a black bin liner. A woman tosses the bag into the boot of a car, and April's driven away. Schoolgirl April passing by the tombstones, then little April being led to the door of another house. Her face looks up expectantly as the door opens. Next, foster care April is a little older as she leaves the house carrying another bag of possessions. she's driven off once more. Schoolgirl April kneels at the grave of Janet Johnson. Wistfully, she reaches out and touches the tombstone.
You'd be better off without me too, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you?
She puts some flowers into a holder. Marion returns home.
April? April?
A young man with piercings accosts April.
I'm telling you, this place is full of weirdos.
Sorry, I've got to go.
What?
My dad's waiting over there.
I can't see him.
Well, he is.
But Jace, this one sees ghosties.
Go away!
Do you see dead people?
Leave me alone!
Do you?
My dad's waiting, all right?
Well, I can't see him. Oi! Oi, I'm talking to you! Oi, little girl! You're in the mine!
April flees through the cemetery. She glances around her as she runs, pulling her school bag more firmly onto her shoulder. Marion opens the door to a policeman.
Marion Bing.
Yes, please, come in. Do go through.
Having left the cemetery, April looks back into it through the bars of an iron fence before hurrying off along a road. Marion sitting with the policeman, filling in a form.
Right, there you go.
Of course, at this stage, the missing from care report's all we need. Background, history, we'll see what that throws up in the next 6 hours.
But is that all you're going to offer? Paperwork and protocol?
For now.
But surely it'd be better just to go out and look for her.
If we did that for every teenager reported missing, there'd be none of us on the streets.
He puts his hat on and goes. Marion sighs. April's running across a narrow railway bridge. She slows to a walk, wiping her face with her hand. She stops and leans against the railing before twisting around and sliding down them till she's sitting. She's sobbing slightly as she takes out the newspaper cutting, which is headlined, "I Found the Dustbin Baby." A flashback to a man picking up the dustbin lid to see the infant lying inside.
No way.
Marion's out in her car, searching the streets for April. April is wandering past a skateboard park. Driving past a children's play park, Marion spots a group of young teenagers hanging out by a seesaw. She parks the car and runs across the road.
I wonder if you could help me. I'm looking for a girl.
I'm a girl.
Oi.
She goes to Hillmount. She's quite small, reddish-brown hair, long. Her name is April.
Nah, we hate Hillmount.
I didn't ask if you hated them. I asked if you'd seen her. It's a simple enough question.
Oh, sorry.
And what's it to you if we've seen her?
Because when she gets home, she'll have me to answer to, that's what.
Calm down, calm down.
Nah, Hillmount kids don't come round here.
Right, well, now we've established that, I'll leave you to your... busy
schedule. Ta-ta. Oi, that's mine!
Not anymore, it isn't!
If we see her, we'll bash her for you, yeah?
I'd much rather you didn't!
Oh, whatever.
At a shopping centre...
Have you seen this girl? Have you seen this girl?
Marion moves urgently from person to person, showing the photograph of April to everyone she comes across. She's travelling up an escalator when Elliot sees her from the one next to it, going down.
Marion! Marion!
Oh, Elliot!
Have you found her yet?
Would I be traipsing this place if I had?
I've checked
the music shop and the bookshop upstairs.
You're looking for April?
I took your advice. I've abandoned my body armour. I'm all yours.
Thank you.
Topshop. If she's anywhere in this place, she'll be in Topshop.
Been there, done that. I'm going to try this fashion discount place up here.
Yeah, April wouldn't be seen dead in there.
But if she's not here, where else would she be?
Cinema?
No, not April.
Marion.
No, I know my own door. I know. You know, she wouldn't go on her own.
Marion.
She's scared of the dark.
That's salt.
She's a child still, really. You know, I mean, she goes to school, she goes shopping with her friends, or she comes to work with me.
Let me get you another.
But you see, for all I know, she might be being bullied. Anything.
Marion.
She might not even have told me about it.
No.
Ugh! Ugh, it's salt! Elliot, why didn't you tell me?
Ugh. Maybe she just needs a bit of time on her own.
Well, doing what?
Whatever teenagers do.
What is that exactly?
A medium skinny latte, please.
Skinny?
She's not answering her mobile.
April doesn't have a mobile.
Don't spare me.
That's what caused the row in the first place.
Row? You never said you'd had a row.
I bought her earrings, but April wanted a phone.
Ah, and here we are.
Apparently so, yes.
Does she have a boyfriend?
No, she's far too young.
14? I think not.
Elliot, you're trying to shock me or something.
How old were you?
25.
25?
Yes, what's wrong with that?
Out of touch and out of time. Oh, Marion, she's a teenager.
I know she is.
You've got to listen to
her.
I know,
I do listen to her.
There has to be give and take to make it work.
This, coming from a man whose only relationship is with a stately home.
She storms off.
The show's over. Go on, go back to your day jobs.
April's now walking along the banks of an urban canal. Elliot, meanwhile, finds Marion sitting forlornly on a bench near the escalators. He sits down beside her, and she shakes her head.
What a failure.
You're not a failure.
I'm supposed to be responsible. They could take her away from me.
Oh, come on. They must deal with this sort of problem all the time.
April's not the problem. We should have bought her this stupid ruddy mobile.
Elliot places a comforting hand on her shoulder. April arrives at the tall wooden gate of a large residential house. She peeks through a gap in the gate to the front door at the far end of a long path. Opening the gate, she walks along the path, which is bordered by overgrown hedges. The windows of the house are boarded up, and April looks down at a pile of assorted debris and rubbish in the garden near the front door. She smiles as she remembers being led along the path as a young child. The woman she's with rings the bell, and a portly, jolly-faced woman answers the door with a smiling man.
You must be April.
April goes inside, and the man closes the door. In the present day, April looks down at some of the rubbish lying on the ground near the house. She comes across a colourful sign that reads Sunny Home Children's Home. She clears away some leaves to see that the S has been crudely altered to an F, so the sign reads Funny Home. April looks back up at the house as she recalls sitting in the garden as a younger child, watching two older
30,
kids play.
15, 16, 17.
They can't get up to 30.
17.
I'm up to 30,
18.
Man.
Oh, sweat boy, I lost count now.
You lose.
So no, wait, you die, man.
Come on, take a look at us,
hello.
Sorry, yeah?
Robbie, you're big klutz, man.
Really hard.
You want to look where you're going?
Then do it on purpose.
And if you did, I'll kill you, yeah?
Ooh, scary Gina.
And what of it?
Better, yeah?
Yeah.
Stay out of the way. What have I told you?
She's all right.
Robbie, get out of my face.
Yeah, get out of my face.
That's my girl.
April sits with Gina.
I was getting chased over this fence, and my whole nail ripped off and bloodier. I nearly fainted.
I
can move my fingers.
You was lucky, I tell you.
Shall I tell Mo?
April, that's not even for the accident book.
It still hurts.
Tell you what. Hide it, yeah. I've got a big stash in my room.
You got more?
Have it all, man. I eat it. I'll never get my butt in my jeans.
In a playroom.
Gina? Can I ask you this one?
No, April. You sit over there.
I'm sitting by Gina.
Oh, not anymore. Now you can have a friend all of your very own. I want you to look after her, okay? She's a sweet little thing, in spite of everything.
April, guess what? You and our new girl, you're both on the very same reading book.
Fancy that. Pearl, this is April. You okay, Cherub?
Hi, thank you, Mo.
Good.
Mo goes, and Pearl pushes a jotter towards April.
I'm not staying behind another year. I've got my own homework. No, you haven't. Do it. David buys 10 ice creams, but he drops 4. How many ice creams are left?
How many ice creams are left?
You write it and I'll copy. It better be right. I've told Mo I'm well clever.
April writes down an answer, and Pearl copies it into her own jotter. Later, April's removing some paper dolls from the keepsake box she keeps beneath her bed.
I'd stopped feeling real after Mummy died. No matter what happened, I felt as papery and crumpled as my paper dolls.
Bluebell, rescue me! Daffodil, just hold on. I'm coming. But I can't hold on. The spell, it's working. I'm losing my magic powers. I'll never escape this land.
You're a doll. You don't have any magic powers. And you'll be here forever, said the Queen.
Just settling Pearl in, my dear. And I expect you'd like to play together, wouldn't you, Pearl?
Thank you, Mo. April will look after me.
Pearl and Mo leave, and April carries her keepsake box over to a wardrobe.
You all be good girls, and I'll be back very soon.
She opens the doors and places it inside. When she closes the doors again, she sees Pearl standing in the doorway, staring at her.
I've told Mo we're best friends. We are friends, aren't we? Good.
Pearl bites her arm, then goes. April looks upset. It's nighttime, and Gina sneaks into April's bedroom and gives the apparently sleeping girl a gentle shake.
You ready, April?
Okay.
Gina pulls the duvet back and reveals that April's fully dressed. Soon, watched by Gina, Robbie, and another child, April's climbing a drain pipe that runs up the side of a house.
Oh, that's it.
Come on, April.
That's it.
You're nearly there.
The onlookers smile as April scrambles through the window of an upstairs bathroom, knocking various products off a shelf as she goes.
She's good.
The bath is just below the window, and April tumbles into it. Breathing heavily, she gets out of the bath and is soon stepping quietly down some darkened stairs, carrying a pillowcase in her hand. Moving cautiously, she enters a well-appointed dining room with an expensive-looking candelabra on the table. She starts to fill the pillowcase with some silver ornaments she sees on a side table. She steals some DVDs and is about to take the candelabra when a light comes on at the top of the stairs. April grabs a smaller item from the table before rushing through it.
Help me! You can't open it!
Just get out, hurry up!
April, turn the key!
Gina smashes a window. April passes through the pillowcase. Then Gina lifts her through the broken window. Back at the children's home, April returns to her bedroom, quickly gets under the covers, and closes her eyes. Suddenly, Pearl puts a hand over April's mouth.
I know what you're doing with Gina. You do what I want, or I'll tell Mo. Okay?
April nods, and Pearl goes, leaving April looking upset. April's having a bath.
How are you doing, April? All right?
Yeah, and Mo, do I need my hair washing?
No, you'll do. I'll just get your towel.
Pearl's brushing her teeth.
Play mermaids.
She pulls April's legs, then holds her under the water. April struggles, but Pearl's too strong for her.
Stay there, mermaid. Stay under.
Finally, April stops struggling, and her body goes limp. Pearl stares down at her. April sits up quickly and gasps for breath as Pearl leaves the bathroom. Now, April finds Pearl sitting on her bed, systematically tearing up her paper dolls.
What are you gonna do, sado? Only babies play with dolls. April's a baby.
Give her back.
You're mental, giving names to bits of paper.
Yeah, at least I've got an imagination. What have you got?
Bluebell. Poor Bluebell. Hasn't got no friends no more.
Daffodil's gone. Anna, mate, Lily's gone. Give it to me.
And why should I?
Because they're mine, right?
Why are you in care, April? Did your mum hate you as much as I do?
Shut your face.
What did you say?
I said, give it to me.
Say bye to Bluebell.
April shoves Pearl, who falls down the stairs. She then watches in horror as adults crowd around Pearl, who lies unmoving at their feet.
Is she dead?
No.
A nervous-looking April stands facing Mo.
April, I need to talk to you. The thing is, Pearl's told Pete everything. And now I need to hear it from you. It's very important that you tell me the truth, April. Do you understand? Did you push Pearl down the stairs? Did you, April? Never. In all the 20
Finally,
years I've worked.
April nods.
Not once. What you've done to another child is very serious indeed. Do you understand?
April nods, her expression full of anxiety. Slowly, she climbs the stairs.
Gina?
She gets into the sleeping Gina's bed.
Everything will be right, you know. Everything.
Gina?
Hmm?
What if they send me away?
They won't. You should have told me, April. I'd have sorted Pearl out for you.
Gina closes her eyes and dozes off. But April remains awake, staring up at the ceiling. Morning light seeps into the room. April's still lying in Gina's arms.
But whenever I ran away, they just brought me back. In the end, I got moved on as well.
A sign outside a large stone building reads Fairdale Residential School. An older April's washing her face. Wearing a school uniform and with her hair in bunches, April strides along a busy corridor, her face set in a hard, stony expression. She kicks a bucket and pushes open some double doors. Sitting outside, she's approached by another girl.
I'm not. I've been here ages. My hair was short when I came. Yours isn't short.
What's wrong with you?
Nothing. I like your hair. Night, night.
April walks off.
Watch the bugs don't bite.
It's night time, and she's sharing a room with the girl. The girl, Poppy, turns off a bedside lamp, and April, lying in her own bed nearby, suddenly looks upset. Two of her paper dolls lie next to her as she kicks her bed sheets away and curls up into a fetal position. In the present day, April's walking along a street. Elliot's waiting outside a mobile phone shop. He glances at his watch and goes to look through the window.
MP3, FM radio.
Radio? Oh, lovely.
A mobile internet browsing facility, USB and Bluetooth as well. Plus, better network coverage. Makes file sharing easier.
She's 14. Will she like it?
14? These fly out of the shop.
You got one?
Yes.
Is it pink?
Oh, what do you think?
Now, has it got MP3, USB ports?
Oh, Bluetooth. It's got everything.
Well done, you.
It was a patronising.
I'm only trying to help.
Oh, I know you are.
Now, I think you should go home and wait. She may be trying to phone. Anything.
Oh, fingers crossed. Yes, all right. I'll call you, yes?
She doesn't deserve you. I hope you know that.
No stint like me. She deserves better.
You sure you'll be okay?
Yes, you go back to work.
She places a hand on his cheek and walks off. Elliot sighs in an exasperated manner. April's sitting beneath a flyover, her back against one of the concrete supports. She gets a start when a car horn sounds, but continues to stare ahead, lost in her own thoughts.
Are we having another toga party, miss?
You're supposed to be Victoria.
Marion's teaching a class that Poppy and April are in.
Last week I had plats too, it's all the same.
No, Poppy, look. Romans and Victorians are very different. Thousands of years different.
Yes, thank you. April seems to be the only person in this class who understands. Romans lived in the 1st century, Victorians lived in the 19th century. Right, but now I want us to look at something really, really very interesting indeed. Because did you know that some of your very own forebears, that's your relatives who were born a long time before you were, some of them would have been Victorians.
My nan's a Victorian. She wears a funny hat as well.
Well, not your nan, Poppy, no, but your great-great-great-grandmother, yes.
I don't know.
Well, that's what we're going to try to find out. So, thank you. Maisie, back row. It's all about our family. See, it's our family who lived a long time before we did. And we're going to do this all together. So if you turn
to, I think it's page 30. Page 30 of your workbook, My Family Tree. Now, that is not, of course, the trees you'll find in the school grounds. It's about everything to do with where we all come from. Roots. It's all about you. So you can start, have you found it? Start by putting your name in this top line here. Come on, April. Can you put your name on that line?
I don't want to.
I'm sorry?
I said I don't want to.
Come along, April. You know how it works. You all at least try to participate.
Why, are you going to make me?
I beg your pardon.
Get out of my face, you stupid old cow!
Be quiet! Right.
Marion stares at April, who's standing, leaning against her desk, struggling to control herself.
Maisie will take her outside until you calm down, April. You know how it works. Right, let's get on with our special project, shall we?
I hate her. I hate it here.
Do you hate my hair?
No, I like your hair.
I do too. And I like sweets and chocolate. Want one?
Look, remember I told you about Gina?
Gina loved you. You didn't hate Gina.
No, I didn't. Everything's all right when I'm with Gina. So that's where I'm going, okay?
Other girls run away, but they always come back.
They must be stupid then, mustn't they?
No, they just got caught.
I need some money.
Who's going to do your hair?
Where's your allowance, Bobby?
Bye, April.
Poppy hands her a red purse. She also holds out a plastic comb, which April takes with a smile, before opening the door and checking that the darkened corridor outside is empty. April steps cautiously along it and peers into an office where she sees a female member of staff sitting with her back to her, watching television. April sneaks past the office and turns around to see Poppy waving at her from the doorway of the bedroom. April holds a finger to her mouth and creeps through some double doors. She enters a cluttered storeroom. Pulling the hood of her top up over her head, she goes to the window and slides it upwards. April pokes her head out of the gap and looks down at a section of roof which is a full story below. She squeezes her body out and begins clambering down a drainpipe. She jumps the last few feet to the roof, then walks over to the edge of the building. She steps down onto the roof of a door porch, and from there, jumps down to the ground.
I don't know, miss.
No, I thought as much. Well, good job I was on my way home, young lady.
Marion escorts April back inside the building. Later, Marion's in an office looking at a file from a cabinet. She takes one marked April Johnson to a desk, sits down, opens it, and begins to read. She leafs through the pages until she comes across a summarized version of April's history. Marion closes her eyes at the revelation. Another day, and a PE class is running outside as Marion finishes a lesson.
Until next week, thank you. And leave quietly. Pebbly, girls. April, could you stay behind a moment, please? Thank you, Maisie. I wanted to...
April stands, looking at her feet as her classmates leave.
Sorry?
Writing family trees in class is never an easy task. For you, I should have approached it with far more care and given you far more attention. I was stupid and extremely thoughtless, and I'm very sorry. I'm really sorry.
So I'm not being moved then?
No, you're not.
For running away, they're not going to send me somewhere else?
No, April.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes, I've explained fully. Your little escapade was entirely down to me. But not that your attempt to leave Fairdale is not to be taken seriously, so I'm afraid that until your next review, you won't be allowed to leave the premises without being escorted on a one-to-one level by a member of staff, which means that your participation in extracurricular activities has been withdrawn.
I can't go out?
Well, not with the rest of the class, no.
I can't go canoeing?
Certainly not for a while, no.
I hate canoeing.
Well, I'll pretend I never heard that.
Thank you, Miss Bean.
Hurry along. Got a lesson to go to?
Anyone need a paddle and a life jacket each?
April smiles at Marion as she goes. Now, kids are leaving for the canoeing trip.
Looks like I drew the short straw.
Miss Bean?
Yes.
Marion appears at April's bedroom door.
First steps towards rejoining the group. And he suggested that a trip out with me might be just the thing. You'll need an outdoor jacket or something.
What for?
Today, you're my charge. Get your coat.
I don't want to go out with you.
The feeling is quite mutual. Surprisingly, there are better things that I usually do with my Saturday mornings. Have you ever been to a stately home? Leading off the enclosed loggia, which is here, the gallery room...
Marion's reading from a guidebook.
From the Jacobean serving palette carved with its owner's initials to a small medieval wheel, almost... Don't touch it yet. Almost intact. All were unearthed during the restoration of the formal garden. And they were. I was there. Don't touch, April. Did you get any of that at all?
It was all found in a building site. Can I go to the cafe now?
No, you can't. I hope you realise, April, we're going to be discussing our visit in class next week.
We?
Local history is of very great importance. You know, where we are, who we are, where we came
from. It's just stuff.
I think you should try to take a bit of interest, April. Just try.
You have no messages.
At home, Marion checks her answering machine.
Things they do with junk these days.
Wow, this is amazing.
A statue of a horse made from recycled rubbish.
It's not supposed to be real, Miss Bean.
Well, I'm sure that the horses who trotted round here all those years ago wouldn't recognise themselves.
Mixed media 2006. Mixed media? Does that mean it's made out of lots of different types of stuff?
Yes. Well done.
You think it's supposed to be funny?
Don't know what it's supposed to be.
I think it is. Makes me laugh.
Well, good.
That's just how it makes me feel.
Maybe that's what I should do. Stick all my old rubbish together and open up a gallery.
Miss Bean?
Well, I mean, if it makes people laugh, and you never know, I could make a fortune. My treat. Go on. Anything you like.
In the tea room.
Well, within reason. The cakes are very good here. Yeah.
That one. Please.
And a pot of coffee, please. For three. nice morning?
Lottery application? Hectic. You?
Yes, not too bad. Elliot, I'd like you to meet April.
How do you do?
One of my pupils from Fairdale. April, this is my friend Elliot. He sort of runs the whole place.
No, I don't.
Virtually you do. No, he does.
No, what she means is I choose what goes on display. It's very different from actually running
well,
the place.
Well, you're being modest.
How was your visit? I hope Marion's historical trivia didn't send you to sleep.
Miss Bean, thank you very much.
Miss Bean, sorry.
Thank you. It is an educational visit, Elliot.
Has it been? April, educational?
My favourite was the funny horse.
Oh, me too. It's crazy, isn't it? I'm not sure Miss Bean would approve.
Well, actually, I found it rather,
interesting.
Liberating.
It's very good to meet you, April.
You too.
Elliot points at the cakes, and April sticks her finger in one. Marion holds up a fork, which April takes. Opening up April's wardrobe at home, Marion pushes aside the clothes hanging inside and takes out the keepsake box. Sitting on April's bed, she opens the box and carefully takes out a colourful paper doll chain. She finds April's scrapbook and slowly leafs through it. The first few pages are marked with childish handwriting, drawings, and one or two pictures that have been pasted in. Beyond those, the pages of the scrapbook are blank. Marion sighs and takes out the picture postcard. She turns it over to see that the message on the other side is signed, Mum. Marion's visibly affected by this and holds the postcard to her chest. Now she's frantically rifling through April's chest of drawers and looking through the clothes in her laundry basket. She searches April's bedclothes and under the mattress, then goes through the clothes in the wardrobe before sitting down on the bed, clutching the keepsake box. Marion looks around at the mess she's made, rocking slightly. April's drinking from a soft drink can as she sits slumped at a table outside a downmarket cafe. In the garden of the stately home.
I feel rich when I'm here.
Yes, not to mention well connected. Kings, queens, prime ministers, they've all visited here countless times.
And now me.
And now you.
April, I've got something to tell you. I've come to a decision. I'm going to take early retirement. As from the end of term, I'm first of all going to take a little holiday. And then when I get back, Elliot's going to give me a job here.
The end of term was Friday.
Yes. So after the school break, I won't be coming back to Fairdale.
Not ever?
Well, not to teach, no.
I'm going.
No, April! Wait! Let me explain!
What? That you'll never see me again?
Of course I'll see you!
Bye, Miss Bean.
April, just because I'm not your teacher doesn't mean I can't take you out.
Yeah? And then one day, you'll get bored and you'll forget. And what'll I be doing? Waiting for you, stuck in my room and waiting.
No, I'd never do that.
Why wouldn't you? Other people have.
April, please, listen.
Well, shut it, will you, Miss Bean?
Oh, no.
April runs off. Presently, she's sitting on a bench in the gardens when Marion approaches her carrying two ice cream cones.
Please be quiet, would have been sufficient.
She hands one to April and takes a seat next to her.
You don't have to call me Miss Bean. Officially, I'm not your teacher anymore, so you could call me Marion, if you like.
They sit together, quietly eating their ice creams.
Time to go then.
Yes.
Later,
yes.
They're walking between some
April,
carefully trimmed hedges.
I wanted to say, I meant to ask earlier, but other things, well, took over. Look, you don't have to go back either. Not if you don't want to. It's taken a lot of thought and planning, but, well, I've got a spare bedroom going to waste at home. To be honest, I've got a few. And now that I've retired, you could always come and live with me.
Live?
Yes, I mean, if you could put up with me, you know, being old and probably a little bit out of fashion and forever nagging you about your homework and so on.
Like, move in?
Yes, I could be your foster mother. What do you say?
It's really kind of you to ask and everything, but I don't think you'd want me. Maybe Poppy or one of the other girls.
I do want you.
If you knew everything about me, you'd only change your mind.
April, I know everything about you. Everything.
You still want me?
Yes.
Thanks. It's really kind of you.
April considers.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. Well, well.
Marion smiles as they walk on. Sitting in her bedroom at the school,
April's
gazing at the postcard from her mother.
My teacher. Fine,
Poppy's looking out the window.
But she wasn't a bit like a mother. I couldn't imagine living with her all the time.
Miss Bean, Miss Bean!
Oh, hello, Poppy!
You look different.
So that now that you're moving in properly, I put you in the big room. Once you've got your own things all around you, you know, your own space, it'll feel very...
April glances around the double bedroom.
Oh, let me show you. Bought you a few things. Wasn't sure what you had.
Marion opens a wardrobe.
They're lovely.
Yes, I thought so, yeah.
She holds up a top.
I'm going to leave you to unpack your bag. You know, just use any drawers and... oh, look, I've given you my mother's old ottoman. It's, see? But it's a sort of seat. Well, settle in.
Marion leaves, and April moves to the bin liner that's resting on the bed. She begins to unpack her possessions. The first thing she removes is her keepsake box. She tries to hide it beneath the bed, but the gap's too small. It won't fit into the chest of drawers either, so she places it into the ottoman. After a moment, she retrieves it, and is sitting on a bed, clutching the box to her chest, when Marion knocks on the door.
Marion, can I have a padlock, please?
Oh, you don't need a padlock here. Your things will be quite safe. Tell you what. Yes. What would that do for you?
Marion's opened the wardrobe and shown April a shelf hidden by the hanging clothes.
Thanks.
April places the box onto the shelf and Marion conceals it with the clothes.
Would you like peas, April? Or carrots?
At the dinner table...
Maybe just peas then?
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Marion spoons some onto a plate. She helps herself to some, then flicks open a napkin which she places over her knees. April follows suit. Marion raises her glass of water toast-like, and April responds, raising her glass of orange juice. They both take a sip. Marion takes her fork and starts breaking the crust of the pie on her plate.
Just twice the ingredients.
April does the same.
I'm sure it'll fly by anyway. I mean, before you know it, I'll be 18 and everything will be all back to normal.
When you're 18? What do you mean?
Well, everyone like me gets kicked out one day, don't they?
April! You don't have to leave here, ever! This is your home. And I bought you these.
April smiles.
Nothing like a new nightdress, is there?
Later, they're in the bedroom.
Looks really nice.
Well, if you want to use the bathroom, I've cleared a shelf for your toiletries.
April picks up the towels and other toilet things and follows Marion from the room. Wearing the new nightdress, April's brushing her teeth. She stops to look round, taking in the tidily kept bathroom. She spits into the sink, then stands looking at her own reflection in the mirror for a long time.
Get out! Gotcha!
Night-night, April.
Night, Poppy.
She reaches a hand out to touch the mirror, then closes her eyes as she experiences some inner hurt.
Yeah?
Now, April's sitting on her bed.
Well, here we are. Your first...
Marion comes in.
Just thought I'd say goodnight.
Goodnight, Marion.
Let me help you here. Let's... get you comfortable, shall we? Sit.
Once April's in bed,
right.
Marion tucks her in.
Sleep well.
She turns off the light and leaves the room. As soon as she's gone, April kicks the covers off her and curls up on her side. A brief glimpse of baby April wrapped up in a blanket in the dustbin, then a flashing neon pizza sign. Schoolgirl April's in a large train station. She stands looking at the departure information on a travel board. Then walks off towards a ticket barrier. Taking her ticket out of her pocket, she drops the earring box onto the ground and kneels down to pick it up. A member of staff comes to help her.
Wow, look at that.
They look lovely on you.
Thank you.
Are you bought them for your boyfriend?
No.
All right, safe journey, yeah? Oh, platform's
gone. I can't go back. Not yet. there's one more person, one more place.
Hello, April?
No, it's me. Any news?
No, not yet. I'll call you if there is.
Are you okay? Shall I come round?
No, I'm fine.
If there's anything I can do.
Elliot, look, she's probably trying to get through right now.
No, listen, Marion, I can't help thinking there's something we've missed.
Like what? I mean, I've been through her room. Not a hint. I'll give you a ring.
But it's her birthday. Was there anything she really wanted to do on her birthday?
She didn't mention anything.
Not really, no.
I'll keep thinking. As long as you're all right. Marion? Marion.
Gotta go.
Marion spots a man taking out a dustbin. She grabs her handbag, a plastic bag with a new phone in it, and her keys before rushing out of the house. Once in her car, she tears off out of the driveway. April climbs to the top of some steps outside the station.
Yes!
Marion, meanwhile, is driving through traffic, flicking through a city map as she does so. April consults the newspaper cutting as she walks along a quiet suburban street past a few shops. She approaches what appears to be her goal, a pizza restaurant at the end of the block called Reno's. April imagines her birth mother closing the dustbin lid on her, then running away. April looks around. The street is all but empty. She walks on. Stuck in a traffic jam, Marion pulls over to the side of the road and parks. She takes the mobile phone out of the bag and removes it from its packaging. She puts on her glasses and peers at it. April, meanwhile, has walked around the back of the pizzeria. She looks along a narrow alleyway where numerous bins and metal dumpsters are kept.
Hello!
Walking slowly, she enters the alleyway.
I need a number, a telephone number of a restaurant. When I say restaurant, I mean a pizza parlour. Yes, it's Reno's Pizza.
I've thought about her every day of my life. Why can't she be here?
April stops and stands in the alley.
Doesn't she ever remember my birthday?
Hello? Yes, I wonder if you can help me. I'm looking for,
She starts to cry.
A teenage girl, and I just wondered if you had one with you. Well, I realised that, yes, of course.
Leaning with her back against one of the refuse bins, April slowly becomes more composed.
Baby, please call.
She reads some graffiti written on another bin.
It's her.
There's a telephone number below the words.
The thing is, how do I find you? Because
April quickly fishes out something to write
on.
Where
I am now. Well, I've absolutely no idea. Wait a minute. Excuse me. Where am I?
4, 5, 9, 7, 6, 3, 4.
Hello? Hello? Who is
it? April's in a public call box.
Who is this? Hello?
Hello?
Is this the baby?
Is that you?
Sorry, I was
was expecting someone else.
No, don't go!
I think I've got the wrong number.
No, you haven't.
Are you my dad?
It's you. It's really you, isn't it? Look, I'm the pizza boy who found you. I'm not a boy anymore. I'm Frankie, yeah? Do you know about me?
You found me. You picked me up.
Yeah. God, you're obviously a lot bigger now. God, you were so beautiful. Look, are you on your own? But where are you?
Outside, by Reno's pizza place.
Does anyone know where you are?
Not really.
Your mum or someone, they must be really worried about you.
Yeah.
Look, wait inside, okay? I'm on my way, I'll be there very soon.
Okay.
April hangs up and smiles. She dials another number.
I'm sorry, I can't come to the telephone right now, but please leave your name, number, and a brief...
The dark and empty hallway of the house.
Thank you.
A set of traffic lights change, and Marion drives past them. At Reno's, a waitress turns a sign to open. April's already inside, sitting at a table, as the waitress places a menu in front of her.
Thank you.
April glances at a menu, then looks around expectantly. A faint smile playing on her lips. A flashback to the shadows of the alleyway. Frankie hears a baby crying and lifts the lid of a nearby dustbin. Gently, he lifts baby April out and cradles her in his arms. Now, carrying a balloon, Frankie enters the pizza restaurant. April smiles when she sees him.
Hi.
He offers her the balloon, and she takes it.
Where is it?
So your name's still April then? I wasn't even sure.
Unknowingly, Marion drives right past the restaurant.
Oh. Wow! I haven't seen this in ages. I keep all of mine safely tucked away. It's like it was yesterday.
Really?
And it's true. You know, I did think you were a kitten. I thought it had jumped in the bin or something.
But you found me?
Yeah. I forgot how small you were. Tiny! And you had all this lovely hair. And your eyes. Such bright little eyes. And when I had to hand you over, you started screaming. I felt so bad. It's funny, even when both my little boys are born, somehow I never quite felt the same way when I first held them. And I guess it's because I'd already held you and I felt like you were mine. I really wanted to look after you.
I wish you had.
When I was a young lad, it was never going to happen. I wouldn't have even known where to start.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me, do you know where Reno's pizza is?
I wrote the phone number on the side of the bin. Every year, you know?
Frustrated, Marion continues her hunt.
You think I'm crazy, right?
No. I thought you were going to be her. My real mum.
I'm sorry. It's only me.
Don't be... You were there the day I was born.
I always hoped you'd phone. It makes
Marion
it
finally spots the sign for the restaurant.
Yeah, they'd love you, pair of rascals. But they'll make you laugh. so, so sweet. I couldn't forget.
Marion looks through the window of the restaurant and sees April laughing as she talks to Frankie. She moves to the door, but doesn't go in, just stares through the glass panels, clearly anxious and perplexed. April spots Marion, and Frankie turns in his seat as Marion finally enters.
Marion, this is Frankie.
Frankie stands.
I see.
Hi. Why don't I get you a drink?
Recognize him?
Frankie moves to the bar, and April hands Marion the cutting.
That's him.
The pizza boy who found me.
Marion reads it.
Oh, well, I never.
And that's me.
Baby April.
And he remembers me. He remembers what I looked like and what I did.
Yes, well. He would, yes.
I'm sorry, Marion.
Looking delighted, April glances over to Frankie.
Yes. I know. Well, at least I found you. Anyway, safe and sound.
They look at each other with tears in their eyes. Then April flings her arms around Marion and hugs her tightly.
You're really mine. Oh. You're mine, April.
Marion holds her close. They break off the hug and laugh at each other. Marion shakes her head.
Oh, I've got something for you. Though I'm not sure you deserve it. Apparently, it does all sorts.
April looks shocked when she removes the mobile phone from the bag.
Happy birthday, April.
I guess I'll probably April never kisses her. Mom. She could be any woman anywhere. I could sit next to her on a bus, or brush past her in a shop. And neither of us would ever know. But it's not like I haven't got a mum. I have. And this is just the beginning.